actually. So I wanted to talk just very briefly about Ramban's comments on what happens in this week's parsha. I'm going to share this little source sheet quickly. I can put this into the chat if anybody wants a copy of it for now. I mean, I think I have to share it. Let me just do that. Okay. So just some, I want to explore a theme that we've explored in this year in the past, but I want to drive it home through this week's Parsha. So if you look in Perek Tesvav, so a recurring theme is Bnei Yisrael, once they get into the Midbar, there's a lot of complaining, right? Life is pretty tough. We all agree. So you can see here in Perek Tesvav, the moment Bnei Yisrael travel away from the Yamsuf, they get into Midbar Shur, there's no water. They arrive in Mara, the water is no good. So Vayilonu Ha'amam Moshe Limar Manishta. The people start complaining to Moshe. We'll see what Moshe's response is. I'll come back to this in a moment. Pasuk Chafei. But then again, in Perek Tezayin, so they travel from Elim. They arrive in Midbar Sin. Vayilonu Kladas Bnei Yisrael Al Moshe V'Alarim B'Midbar. Miutain Musain Biyad Hashem Baras Mitzrayim. We should have died in Mitzrayim. Sir Habasar Lechem Osova. And then you brought us into the Midbar. Lohamis Kalakal Zeberav. You're going to starve us all to death in the desert. So go another parak further. Shmos Parak Yed Zayin. They travel from Midbar Sin. And they saw a camp in Rephidim. There's no water again. Vayarev ha'amim Moshe vayomru t'na lanu mayim v'nishta. So again, Bnei Yisrael are upset. Vayalan ha'am lamazel yisanam v'mitzrayim, etc., etc. Moshe even calls the place Vayikra Shem HaMakom Maso Meriva. It was a place of fighting, of strife, because he ended up being in conflict with Bnei Yisrael, Halbrid Bnei Yisrael. And so you get the sense that life was pretty bad in the Midbar. And then at the end of the parsha, you have another challenge. Perek Yud Zayin Pasuk Ches Vayavo Amalek. And Bnei Yisrael have to go to war for the first time. So you have all the challenges of being a nation. You have to fight. You have to defend the people. You have to figure out how to get food supplies around for everybody. There's no food. So you need lechem min hashamayim. There's no water. Bnei Yisrael are complaining. Right, dude, these are like basic questions of providing basic goods to Bnei Yisrael. I think that's a recurring theme that you see throughout the Midbar. And again, this is the first time you have like Bnei Yisrael out on their own, not as slaves in Mitzrayim. So, what's Moshe's response to this? What's the first move that Moshe makes when Bnei Yisrael complained to him in the beginning of the parsha?
Doesn't he tell him to just believe in Hashem, basically?
Oh, come on, Romy.
He does.
Does he?
He tells him, like, why are you yelling at me?
God does all these crazy things. That's basically what he says.
Well, let's see. So back in the beginning of the source, you test above.
I meant like a Kriyas Yamsuf and they start complaining.
I mean, Matitzake Lai.
Yeah.
Okay. But look here, when they get to Mara, the Moshe calls out to Hashem, Vayashlech el amayim, Vayim tiku amayim, Sham sam lo chok mishpah v'sham nisahu. This is what I want to focus on. There, Moshe was sam chok mishpat v'sham nisahu. So what does that mean? What happened here in Mara? So what does this phrase mean? Anybody know? So Rashi You can see here, page 2, Rashi on Pasuk Kaf Hei, Sham Samlo. Rashi says that Moshe gave Bnei Yisrael Miktas Parshiyos Shel Torah, Sheis Asku Behem, Shabbos Para, Aduma, and Dinen. So, how's Rashi understanding this?
It's a set of laws.
Okay, so Rashi understands it, but it's not just any laws. It was specific things, right? Like Shabbos, Para, Aduma, and Dinen. You also get the sense from Rashi that it's Sheis Asku Behem. Like, almost like Parshiyos Shel Torah. That they should engage in. And I think the Ramban's right when he reads, he interprets Rashi as saying that here, none of this, he thinks that Rashi's view is that none of this was obligatory. So there was no commandment that went into effect at Mara, but it was almost like Hashem just letting Bnei Yisrael know the types of mitzvos that they will be commanded in the future. Here's the Ramban's quote. Here's the Ramban's characterization of Rashi. Lashon Rashi shomer parshio sheisasku behen mashma shehodiam hachukim haheim belimed osam. So notice it's just hodiam, let them know. Limed, he taught them the things that asid Hakadosh Baruch Hu litzavos eschem. So there's no command yet. Correct? It's just information about what will be commanded later on. Everybody see that? I think the Ramban's being medayik from Rashi saying that she is asku behen. Like, you know, you engage, you know, stuff to entertain yourselves with or intellectually engage with. But nothing that's binding as a mitzvah or a chiyuv or a duty yet. He draws an analogy al derech shelamed Avraham Avinu, shelamed Avraham Avinu satorah. And what was the purpose? Training. Lahargilam b'mitzvos, ladasim mikablosam b'simcha v'tiv levav. Right? So just to kind of test the water, see how Bnei Yisrael will act to some potpourri, some sprinkling of mitzvos. Okay, that's Rashi's view. At least the way the Ramban characterizes Rashi's view. Now, I think the Ramban disagrees. And I think the Ramban is totally right about the Pasha Pshat here. So he says, it doesn't mean Adar Chapshat, that, you know, Paraduma, Shabbos, and these mitzvos. Anybody know this Ramban? Ned?
Camp laws.
What do you mean by camp laws?
Basic social norms that they should follow.
And not even more than social norms, but basic laws of governance.
Yeah. Well, laws and norms. That's a different class.
Okay. Yeah. basic laws and norms to govern society. So that's what the Ramban says, but I want to frame this against what the Pesukim, what's going on in the whole Parsha, which is Bnei Yisrael they're all fed up with how are we going to ration food, right? In Mitzrayim, there was so much food to go around. Why are you bringing us into the Midbar to die of thirst? There's no water here. Amalek comes and attacks Bnei Israel. So there are basic laws that you need for any society to function. Right? So anybody can think of some examples of those to come to the top of your head? What are basic laws that society needs to function? Anyone?
Yeah. Taxes.
Time. What's that, Rumi?
Taxes and stuff like that.
You're going to tax people in the Midbar?
Services.
Yeah, I guess like certain types of services, rationing, property rights, who gets what, right? Who has to go out to war? Who's got to take out the garbage? Yoni, what were you going to say? Yoni, you were going to say something? Or
no? What about like not murdering?
Yeah, not murdering, right? Some basic rules that any society needs to function. And so the Ramban says that when they got into the Midbar, where you have scarce resources, some lahem bim min hagim, Asher Yinagu Bahem Ad Bam Al Eretz Noshavas. The Moshe Rabbeinu put into place Minhagim. Notice that phrase. Customs, norms, as Ned said, that will govern the Jewish people until they get into Eretz Yisrael. So what do you think of that? That notice that it's temporary. It's really just to get them through the Midbar. So these aren't meant to be permanent laws. And there are customs in the Ramban's formulation.
Ravi, isn't there... May I talk? Is it?
You may talk.
Thank you. Isn't there a Midrash that B'nai Yisrael had, you know, kind of like, I want to call it neo-communism, but realistically it's early communism, like early communist society, where like less ideas of like senses of property and more like
would be proto-communist. Shared...
Yeah. Isn't there, there a Midrash?
Maybe, I mean, that's... Not that rings familiar to me, but maybe it's out there.
I'm not bringing it to contradict. I'm just saying like that would be the kind of like rules of society that were introduced here.
Maybe. It's,
I guess
it's
yeah, you haven't heard of it.
Yeah, off the top of my hand, I don't know about a measure of proto-communism. But here, the way Ramban understands this, this is like basic laws of governance. Now notice this. Ramban says that's what the Torah means when it says Sham Sam Lo Chok. What does Chok mean? So he cites a pasuk in Mishle, Lechem Chuki, where it means like my customary portion of bread. Everybody familiar with that pasuk in Mishle? So Chok doesn't mean like a law without a reason. Chok could just mean a minhag. So like my customary ration. Or Chuko Shemayim Ba'aretz. You might know what's going on in Yirmiya, Lama Gimel Chafei. Chuko Shemayim Ba'aretz. What does that
the
mean?
The laws of nature won't change, just like the breach with God won't be abrogated.
Exactly, the laws of nature. And the Ramban laws, I guess laws and norms. This is an interesting question, relationship between the two. But the Ramban saying that there, Chuko Shemayim, we talk about laws of nature, but you also talk about habits of nature, right? Dispositions of nature, rules of nature. And so the Ramban's saying that's kind of what the chok means here. It means like the habits of how gravity works and how the planets have their motion. So that's why it says Sham Sam Lo Chok, meaning these minhagim. Now, why is it mishpat? This is a second dimension here. Because you could have laws that are habits or their customs, but they lack, what do they lack?
Fairness.
Yeah, they lack fairness, they lack being properly measured. So Ramban says that's what Mishpat is, that Moshe Rabbeinu, not just that he instituted practices or norms, but that there were laws that also had Mishpat, biyoso mishuar kehogan. How do you translate mishuar kehogan?
Fair. Properly measured.
Yeah, Josh, what were you going to say?
Yeah, when Ned said, like, fair measurements.
Exactly. Properly calibrated, like, Mishoar is the language of, like, shear. Like, the Kehogen. Like, properly calibrated, properly measured. So, like, the laws, not there. It's not just that there were practices, but the practices were fair and properly measured for how they would govern or what they would give to each person or how they would organize society. How does Ramban know this? So he cites a few psukim. So if you look at these psukim in Shmuel Aleph, Kemishpat Arishon Asher Haisam Ashkeyu, this is the Saramashkim. Armon Al Mishpato Yeshev. Ramban thinks that these psukim, it connotes Al Midaso and its proper measurement. So that's the connotation of Mishpat, a law that's properly measured, properly calibrated. And the Ramban says, or a slight variation, I see this as getting at the same point. Another way of parsing Chok and Mishpat that gets at the same philosophical idea that the Ramban is advancing. And that is, he was teaching them how to tolerate, you know, famine and thirst. Mishpatim, certain aspects of Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, Mishpatim She'yichyu Behem, Le'ehov Ish Asrei'ehu, L'Hisnaheg Ba'atzas HaZakenim, so respect for others, to abide by the commands of authority or the advice of authority of this Canaan. Hatznei aleches bo halehem b'inyan hanashim v'yiladim. Don't abuse or don't violate the privacy of women and children who are your neighbors. And then also how to conduct themselves with foreigners. Sheyinhagu shalom im habayim b'machane limkor lehem davar. Look, somebody comes into your camp to do commerce. Treat them civilly. Right? How would you say linhok b'shalom? To act peacefully with a foreigner who comes in to do business. These are basic laws, right? Yes. V'tochachos musar shelo yu kemachanos hasholulim asher yasu kol toeva v'lo yisposh asher. And when you go to war, not to be like the violent pillagers. If Benny was here, he would talk about Ned Stark. But to act menschlich even when you're in the middle of war. Now, here's a crucial observation that the Ramban makes. It wasn't just Moshe Rabbeinu who did this. Moshe made these ad hoc, you know, rules of governance in the Midbar. But who else did this?
Yoshua.
Excellent, yeah. Yoshua did this when he led Bnei Israel into Eretz Israel to conquer the land. So Ramban points to Yoshua Chav Dalet Chafei. This is right before they go into Eretz Israel. So we're told, Vayichros Yehoshua bris la'am b'yomahu, v'yasem lo choku mishpat b'shchem. So it's really striking, right? It's the same formulation that you have in Mara, sham sam lo choku mishpat. So what does that refer to in Yehoshua? What does the Ramban argue? Einam chuke ha-Torah v'ha-mishpatim, aval hanhagos v'yishuv ha-medinos. This isn't referring to the commandments of the Torah. It's referring to Hanhagos v'yishuv hamedinos. How would you translate that?
The rules of civility.
Yeah, rules of governance, right? Or political rules, rules of social governance. And he gives the example of some of those that Yoshua did. Kegon tinaim shehisne Yoshua shehizkiru chachamim babakama peyem ebez v'chayote behem. He gives the example that Yoshua did this when he made his 10 Tanayim. So what are the 10 Tanayim? Gemara Bava Kamma. Anybody know what these 10 Tanayim are that Yoshua did? What are these things? So the Gemara Bava Kamma talks about when Yoshua came, Asar Tanayim Hisna Yoshua, about Eretz Yisrael. All just about, you know, economic or about the rights of property. Sheyu Marin Bechorshin. So that an animal could graze in any forest, even if it's a private land, even if the forest is privately owned. So like, look, if you own a forest, it could be yours, but you can't stop somebody's cattle from grazing there. Umalakten eats and bisodo sehen. If you own a private field, anybody could come in and gather wood from your field. Right? Even if it's your wood. Umalakten asavim b'chol makom chutz mi tilsan. You could gather vegetation, you know, from anywhere except for this special place. You could cut off shoots, like a little vegetation of plants, except for olives. What's this? What does this mean?
Are the people upstream have water rights?
Or more than that, people, anybody could come and take from a spring, even if it opens on your private land. Like even if the spring originates in your private land, you don't have the right to not let other people come and take from the spring. Anybody's allowed to come and fish in the Kinneret, the Sea of Tiberia, as long as their nets aren't getting in the ways of boats. V'nifnin l'achori hageder. Anybody want to tell us what's going on here? Okay, it's like a public restroom rule that anybody could, any people have the right to relieve themselves outdoors behind a fence, right? You can't say that you can't relieve yourself here. I guess it's like people could use that for as a public restroom. Same for this next one. Mahalchin bishvilei harishus ad sheteired revia shnia. So people have the right to use like certain paths that cut through people's fields until the second rainfall of the season. Doesn't matter why. Mistalkin letzidei hadrachim ipnei yesedos hadrachim. Bato aben akramim mafsig v'ole mafsig v'yored meis mitzvah koneg mekomo. So somebody who's going through a vineyard and is lost is a lot of chopped down branches along the way, etc., etc. And a dead person, a meis mitzvah, is kone mekomo to be buried there in its spot where it died. So what do you make of these rules?
Kind of limits private property in a certain way. Like, I don't know if this is what Tani meant, but like, it's in some way we're saying like Eretz Yisrael, you know, it's not just because like, you know, whether it's because the land belongs to the nation or belongs to God in some way, that, you know, just because, let's say, like a spring, you know, opens on your land, that does not necessarily mean it's yours and that you should, you know, prevent other people from
sure, using maybe. But notice, yeah, you're already getting deeply philosophical, but notice that it's rules of use of land and sharing and, you know, people getting along in a scarce resource society, right? Arman says those are the type of takanos that Moshe was making in Sham Samla Chokam Mishpat Sham Yisrael. Everybody see that? Yeah. Now, just like one other observation here before I make my point. The Rabbi Nebachia, Perek Tesvav, Pasek Chav Hei, here says Sham Samla Chokam Mishpat. Rabbi Nebach is, you know, he's very influenced by the Ramban, but he sometimes adds in a few interesting observations. He says, "Haderach Hapshat him chukei hamidbar, ki Moshe hay bishurin melech umanig. Vayemochiach osam mitzav aleim echis nagu b'midbar manashim vayiladim, gam imachin osa umos habam shameres marchakim lemkor lehem dvarim rabim." What's he saying here? This idea that Moshe was bishurin melech manhig. Moshe wasn't... Go ahead, Rami.
Well, I just said, it sounds like he's making the leader has the power to establish these rules in a given society. That's why Yeshua did in his, meaning I'm transferring that over. But that's why Yeshua did in his society. And that's the role of the king, basically.
Yeah. So exactly. I think Rabbi Nebachia is saying, don't forget that Moshe wasn't just the Navi who gave us Torah's Moshe, right? It wasn't just that he had insight into the divine laws. But he also functioned as the melech, the political leader. And this Sham Samla Chokam Mishpat was Moshe qua the political leader of Bnei Israel, just making laws for their society. That's why it's B'toras Melech U'manig. So why do I think this is important? So I think you see here an example of, certainly in the Ramban's parish, and Rabbi Nebachia also, of the importance that you see in the psukim to the notion of law and a legally organized society, distinct from what the Ramban here calls chukei haTorah v'hamishpatim. Because what Moshe was doing here and what Yoshua was doing in Yeshua Chavdalet, again, it wasn't legislating chukei haTorah v'hamishpatim. But there was just some other value in legislating hanhagos v'yishuv hamedinos. Right, that's what the psukim are capturing in both cases. That's what you see in the Ramban's analysis. Now, we could ask ourselves two related questions. One is, why is this a religious value? Like, why does the Torah think that law is important and a good thing, separate from the Chukei HaTorah? Do you agree that that's implicit in the Ramban's analysis? The Takanos Yoshua. But we could also ask a separate type of question, which is, where else do we see the halacha giving important stature to the concept of law, the rule of law, the existence of law, separate from it being the Chukya Torah Mishpataha? So I'm just going to point out very quickly, you see this, one way of thinking about this is in the notion of the halacha recognizing Dina D'machusa Dina, right? Not only that there's a concept of Dina D'machusa Dina that has halachic significance, but connecting it to, I'm just going to skip ahead here and make this point, then I'll let you all go. There's a really interesting comment of the Ravid, who says, both in a tshuva and in his hasagos to the Rambam, the same points. So he says this. This is about an issue where you don't have a clear-cut halacha on something, but there is a very well-established din in the Malchus. So the Ravid says, in this tshuva here, in Siman Kuf Lamed Aleph, V'chein ani yomer b'chol davar she'ein dinam mefurash etzleinu, ve'ein lanu bo minhag yedua, she'hochin bo achar minhago shelahem, she'karov davar zeh l'dina d'machus adina. It's a really striking phrase where the Ravid says that even if something is not explicitly the law, if there's a clear-cut custom amongst the non-Jews, like, we should follow that, because it's similar to the notion of Dina D'machus Adina. It's saying like, look, if there's no like decisive halacha on something, look to what, if not the Dina D'machus Adina, like look to what the practice is in society. Let me give another example here, where the Rambam in Hilchos Mahalot v'Lovet talks about a case of two people who guarantee a loan. The borrower defaults. So which guarantor do you go to first? So Rambam says that Lifra min ha'arev, Yifra me'eza mehen she'yirtza. You could sue whichever one you want. The Ravid disagrees. He says, Eina mechubar, Ela lefi ha'minag, V'lomdim min ha'akam li'Yisrael. Like the Ravid says, the Rambam got the wrong decision. Because there's no halacha psuka like this in the Gemara, you should see what do the non-Jews do in this case. And then you should just apply that din, that practice to the Jewish law. So I think there's a lot more to develop here, but you see an impulse that there's some value to the laws being set, whether through practices or legislation, even to the extent that Judaism will want to recognize the Dina D'machusa Dina. And the Ravid goes further and says, even when there's no explicit Dina D'machus Adina, we'll still look to the way it's practiced in society to guide the halachic decision. Everybody see that in these examples? So it's worth, I don't have the answer, we can't pursue this right now, but this idea of Sham Samlo Koko Mishpat Visham Nisahu, this clear emphasis on there being a value of a society that's ordered by norms and law. And the Ramban's phrase, even when that, you know, it's not the Chukya Torah per se, but it's the minhagim and practices. So that's the, and that you see also in Yoshua with the 10 Tanayim that he puts forth. All right, we'll stop here for today, but I wanted to, anybody want to stick around for questions or thoughts on this? Or
I have a question, but I can ask afterwards.
Yeah, I'll stick around. So if anybody has to run to Mincha, you can run to, I'm not in a rush, but if anybody has to run to Mincha, feel free to rush off to Mincha. But see you, Nachshoni and Tani. Yeah, Josh.
Thanks for your time. Yeah, gotta go.
Yeah, I just think this is like a Lashitoso for the Ramban, because Ibn Ezra or Rashi, I think, if I'm remembering correctly, would say that when it comes to Parshas Yitro, at the beginning with the Zakenim, that they would say like, oh, this has to be post Matan Torah because the dinim weren't given yet. But I think the Ramban says that no, it's, I think the order stays the same, and that there might have been laws beforehand. So like, kind of, you can look at the Zakenim also as kind of in this sort of effort.
Yeah. Super interesting. Absolutely. The Ramban thinks that there were all these dinim prior to Matan Torah, although he wants to say these aren't the Mishpatei Torah here.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Cool. Totally good point.
As well, governing in addition to. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah. Ned, do you have a thought on this?
Yeah, there's a Gemara. I'm trying to find it. We saw it with Carmi last semester. It says that the Yechezkel castigates the Jews for not for taking the bad chukim from the non-Jews and from failing to do that which was proper from the non-Jews. I'm trying to find it.
Ah, it's that similar idea. Like, there are good chukim out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you want to develop this idea further, I mean, it's related to the Drasha Saran about the Mishpat HaMelech. Right, that's a big piece of this. It's related to Rashan ben Eir Lasi al Kitzasan. It's related to the Ramban and Mishpat Acherem, right? Mm-hmm. About the Koach Pilti Machrem. It's just this is like another piece of that picture, right? The even Moshe Rabbeinu was legislating political norms. Even Yeshua was implementing like political rules. That's the
I got it. Yeah, it's the Sanhedrin Lamed. No, I'll send it here.
Sanhedrin Lamed?
Sanhedrin Lamed 10. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's in the chat.
Right. I think what that shows is that there's always supposed to be some sort of system of norms supplementing the Mishpatei Torah.
I mean, that's like Derech Eretz Kodem LaTorah.
Yeah, very good. Commit to Kanim Shavim Lo Asisem of Kam Shavim Asisem. Right? Like the. Just like Dinim of Bnei Noach. Like, clearly there's some halachic recognition of Dinim of Bnei Noach as a principle. Yeah. All right. Shkayach, everyone. I mean, I'll say that Ravid is super interesting, where the Rambam has that halacha for Arev and is like, well, here we could just speculate. You could, because there's no halachic rule, you could sue either one of them. And the Ravid is like, no. Like, the halacha should yield to whatever the non-Jewish custom is to define those cases.
Can I ask two questions?
Yeah, absolutely.
First of all, I mean, this I've asked you before, but why don't you think that the fact that this, that if this were really true, it would be like stated more explicitly?
That this should be, it's in the Torah. Sham sam lo chok mishpah v'sham niso.
Well, I guess I'm saying is like, why do we need the Ramban to draw it out for us and nobody else? Or unless, I guess you think that Bava Basra, that or whatever else it is.
Yeah, it's about Basra Dabchas, it's Dina the Machus Adina, it's the Takanos of Yoshua.
But you think all that naturally, you think someone could read Sham Sam Lach Mishpat and naturally
get the Ramban?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think in the context, like, look, it's Bnei Yisrael, there are scarce resources in the Midbar, there's no water, there's no food, so Moshe had to make rules. You know, if you find an animal in your backyard, you share it with everyone. You know, if you find water, everyone has access to it. You know,
it doesn't bother you. No, it doesn't bother you. It doesn't. It's not a problem for you.
I see it everywhere now.
Right.
You see how this fits nicely with that picture.
Yeah, no, I definitely think they all fit together. The question is whether this is like a creation of the Ramban or the Ran or of you or whatever, but.
But it is interesting that it's very much in that base medrash of Chachmei Svarg, right? Like the Rashan bin Ha'ir, the Kohol as a Bezdin is all those Shud HaRashbos.
Yeah, it's interesting.
And then the Mishpat HaMelech is that Shuvah Saran, the Drasha Saran.
Right.
And then the Kol Chirim Asher Yechram is the Mishpat HaChirim of the Ramban. And then Sham Sam L'Chok Mishpat is the Ramban. So right. Yeah, you want to say this is the Ramban's base medrash developing this idea? Maybe.
Right. And then the other thing I was wondering was, do you think the fact that there are no guidelines for it, or that, you know, Moshe had his and Yoshua had his, whatever, suggests that the Torah doesn't care what the setup is?
Maybe. I mean, well, the Ramban does say that it has to be Chok Mishpat, it has to be Meshuar Kohogan.
Right.
And the Ramban's Lashitasa in Dinan Vachus Adina, where he says that you know, it's got to be shaveh l'chol ha-malchus. It can't be targeting a specific population. It has to be like a known law. It can't be a private law that no one knows about. It's a dina de malchusa, not chamsanusa de malka.
Right.
Right. And it's got to be for the whole kingdom, not just the king's arbitrary will.
Right.
But that's very much l'shita. There's like a dimension of mishoar kahogan in addition to just the mere fact that it's the
But I guess mishoar kahogan relative to what?
See, so I think the answer is that, remember when we were doing the Rawls class?
Yeah.
And like some of the chevra there were, it was like, why is this an important pursuit? Like if the Torah already defines like all the rules. And I think the answer is like, no, like Mishoar Kahogan it's not constrained. That's, you have to figure out what's considered proper. Like what's considered fair? What's like, maybe the Torah doesn't have a distinct view on fairness for these types of takanos.
Interesting.
Maybe.
Right.
At least it's not explicit anywhere.
Right. Well, yeah, but those are very different things. Like we could find it, we just have to figure it out, or it's about ethics and or logic or, you know, good.
I think you might say that there are certain dinim that presuppose or that they reflect a conception of fairness,
right,
but that would be true even if it wasn't a unique, like even if it wasn't like a strict in the halachic sense of like here's the hagdara of kahogan for political society. Right, so Ned, you're saying this is Kasher Yitzak Hamuvas Yamdilav Haruim Mishpat.
Mishpatehem Mishpatu, meaning Bimishpatehem Shalva Akum.
Right. You're saying, so here too, you're giving normative force to
Non-Jewish law.
Lashitasa. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's like that, right, Vid?
Yeah. But here it's interesting. You have two options. Either follow their laws or go to Israel. And
yeah, I like that. Kasher Yitzak Amuvas Yamdu Al Horiyam Lishbet Mishpatei Mishpatu. Yeah. I think that would be very much in line with this. Very good. Carmi covered that also, or?
This I got from Rabbi Fridman like 5 years ago.
Ah, very good. Where do you hear him speak?
This is my Rebbe, 11th and 12th grade.
Oh, yeah, TABC.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a very good mucker. All right, shkoyach, guys.
Okay. Thank you.
See you tomorrow.
Bye.
All right, take care.